The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
I'm going to ask you to turn to the John passage, John 20, 19 through 31. And the reason that that little chorus was ringing through my mind is because I was reading in the passage today about Jesus showing up, post-resurrection, showing up and breathing on his disciples. And it reminds me very much kind of a foreshadowing of what happens in a few days after Easter at Pentecost. Before we look at that, though, I want to remind you that you have a very handy devotional booklet for Eastertide. Easter is not just a day, it's a season, as we talked about yesterday at the men's prayer breakfast. And the title that I'm giving to this season's teachings and readings is Tell Us Plainly. So I'd like for you to grab a copy of this thingy out on the table when you leave today. And if you don't have the chance to do that or would rather look at it digitally, it's available on the church website in PDF format, so you can look at it there. Anyway, we're in John's Gospel today, John 20, verses 19 through 21. Before we do that, though, let me set the stage just a little bit. One of the gospel readings, and it's not today, but one of the gospel readings for this Easter season gives the context of this theme, Tell Us Plainly, that I was telling you about. And so here's the passage. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, here are the words, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. So that's in John 10, and we'll see that in a few weeks. But that's sort of the context of this notion of tell us plainly. So the answer was as plain as could be. It was in some ways, in fact, in all ways, the answer was standing before them. So who is Jesus? And do the scriptures make that plain? Well, these were good questions in Jesus' day, and they're good questions today for us too. So a walk through a readings of the scripture passages for Easter really show us and resound with this cry, tell us plainly. There's Peter's impassioned sermon that we're going to be looking at. There's the psalmist's messianic foreshadowings. And then there's Thomas's post-resurrection doubtings that we're going to look at today. And then John's vision on the island of Patmos, where he is given a spectacular vision of worship and of apocalyptic things and of things to come. And all of them, I think at least, you could make the case for saying, have this common thread running through it, which is, who is Jesus? Tell us plainly. So there's also a fascinating thing I want you to be on the lookout for, and you may see it in today's readings, and it's a kind of a play on words. It's a play on questions and answers. So there are lots of questions asked during the readings and throughout the readings that we're going to be looking at. Lots of questions, and in many different settings. So we'll see those questions in a variety of places. But the answers always point back to the person and work of Jesus Christ and the truth of who he is. And so we're going to be answering this question, who is Jesus? We're going to see where he, in some cases himself, tells us plainly, and we proclaim that Jesus is the Christ. He has died, he has risen, he will come again, and in him we live and have life. So that's the context for the next few weeks. This first passage today is in John's Gospel. You're already there in the 20th chapter and down to the 19th verse. So get the scene. The resurrection has already occurred. The women have gone to the tomb and they have gone back to report this thing that they have seen. But evidently there's still some doubting, at least with one particular person. If you'll look at verse 18, it says, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord! Exclamation mark. Who was the comedian who used to do the little noises with each punctuation? Victor Borga, yeah. I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. That is to say, I'm returning to the Father, etc., etc. Now, here we are with verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, so when are we talking about? Sunday, Resurrection Day, Sunday night. Lots happening on Resurrection Day, not the least of which is the resurrection. But we also have that amazing encounter on the road to Emmaus where the two disciples of Jesus come face to face with Jesus. And for a while, they don't know who he is. He is recognized by them when? In the breaking of the bread. And they get up at once and return to Jerusalem with great joy. So that's one of the things that happens on Resurrection Day. And here's another one, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, that's an important little bit to remember, I think. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." That's the first thing he says. Think about that just a second. Carolyn experienced that this week. So she's waiting on this review that, I mean, I can't imagine it not being wonderful, but you still gotta wonder, right? And she's waiting on it, and Jesus says, he shows up and says, "Peace be with you." The first thing he says to the disciples, peace. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that they lacked peace? I think probably so. I'm wondering also, maybe not, but I'm wondering also if Jesus showing up all of a sudden has at least a few of them going, see, the reason I wasn't so excited about, I wonder if they're wondering if Jesus is going to be upset with them. Oh my goodness, Lord. All of those doubts, I think he, of course, knows their mind. And the first thing he says is, peace. Isn't that a beautiful Jesus? Isn't that a beautiful Savior? I don't believe you're listening to me. Do you get it? Peace. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Wow, so many things happening here. But one of the things that's happening here is Jesus is sending them forth. And they're not just going home after the sermon. They're not just going to go hang out at the steakhouse and get a number one medium well salad bar baked potato and one of those ridiculous desserts with the meringue that I don't see the point of meringue, but those of you who cook will have to tell me about that later. No, they didn't just go home. They didn't go back to their homes and say, "Jesus, I thought that was really good teaching today. Yes, I did as well. Yes." No, Jesus breathes on them the Ruach of God. And he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." By the way, that exact same litany is found in the early church's baptismal litany. You come up out of the water and the priest will breathe on them and say, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They took that right out of the gospel and into their own baptismal liturgy. "Receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, breathe on me until my heart is clean. Let sunshine fill its inmost part with not a cloud between." Now Thomas, verse 24, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." We've seen the Lord. He was here in the flesh. That's not scripture. I added that part. But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Okay. A week later, his disciples were in the house again. So it's the following Sunday. They're in the same place again, all together, and Thomas was with them. What a precious Savior. What a beautiful Jesus. What a marvelous Lord we serve. And what happens? Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, what? "Peace be with you." I wonder what Thomas felt. You got an idea? What would be going through your noggin? Scripture does not record that. Oh my goodness. In fact, in just a second, he does say, "Oh my God." Jesus walks up to Thomas and he says, "Okay, Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting. Stop doubting. Stop doubting. Look at your neighbor and say, stop doubting. Stop doubting and believe and believe and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. My sovereign, my ruler, my king, the one to whom I owe ultimate allegiance. You are my Lord and my God. You were my rabbi, my teacher. And you were my brother, you were my traveling companion, and now you are my Lord and my God. And then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. And then Jesus says something about you. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Look me in the eyeball, beloved. You are blessed. You are blessed. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. You who have believed and who have yet not seen. Not yet. Little bit, glimpses, but someday we're going to stand before this marvelous, precious Savior and we're going to say, my Lord and my God. Wow. Stop doubting. Believe. Stop doubting. Believe. I like to think of this breathing on the disciples as a kind of epiclesis. So remember that epiclesis means a prayer of transformation, especially at table when we ask God to send the Holy Spirit to come and, in effect, breathe on us, to transform us from regular old folks into covenant keepers, kingdom builders. I say that a lot. But also to change these elements. What happens to the elements? A lot of people have lived and died because of what they believe or don't believe the elements. I don't know. I don't have a clue. I don't. But I embrace the mystery. Because I believe that God really shows up and I want the communion elements to be every bit and nothing less than Jesus wants them to be. And they are transformed. Jesus says in John 6, if you will not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have any part of me. So that's what I'm going to do. So Jesus comes to his disciples, the apostles, those who go out, those who are sent forth, and he breathes on them, a kind of epiclesis, I think. One of the church fathers says, his creative breath unites his apostles, his church, and empowers them to breathe life into a dying world. That's beautiful. So we don't just go home at the end of the service. The disciples didn't just go home after that first day of the week get together. They went out into the world. Now, I noticed the second time they come back together, the doors are locked again. Did you notice that? But some transformation is taking place, I think. I mean, you can't have Jesus show up and there not be transformation. And Jesus shows up and there's transformation. They started out behind locked doors, these guys, and they finish up being breathed on and sent out in power. That's amazing. They're behind locked doors. Why? It says for fear of the Jews. Their Lord and their God has been killed. Who has the power to kill God? No wonder they're behind locked doors. And Jesus shows up and things change. Locked doors don't matter anymore when Jesus shows up. You get breathed on when Jesus shows up. You get sent out in power when Jesus shows up. You get changed when Jesus shows up. You get peace when Jesus shows up. I want you to think about this week, apostles. When you're perhaps feeling a little overwhelmed by the world and that maybe your God has been killed, your Lord and your God is dead. No, he's not. So the theme for this Eastertide is tell us plainly. So what's evidence in this particular scripture that Thomas heard plainly who Jesus is? Point it out. What do you see? How did Jesus tell Thomas who he is? I'm not even going to believe. So Jesus didn't say so much as he showed. What incredible patience. You know, even when our spiritual walk is close to the Master's side, as Thomas's was, we doubt. But thanks be to God that our doubts and our desire for plain talk are answered with patience and love. Thomas asked as it were, plainly. And Jesus answered in like manner, although it wasn't with words and it had to have shaken him up a little bit. How precious, how amazing, how patient. What else? How does Thomas find out who Jesus is? How does Jesus tell him plainly? Yes. And I wonder, Carolyn, if peace needs to come before all the rest of it.
Absolutely.
So listen, there's a wonderful lesson here. Peace from Christ needs to come before you start trying to figure it all out. Peace from Christ needs to be issued, proclaimed, given. It's a beautiful grace gift. How many times, oh, brothers and sisters, in my ministerial life was my first inclination in order to fix a problem to pick up that blasted phone and try to start working it? Maybe the same with you. I don't know. When what I should have done was to say, my Lord and my God, and listen to Him say, peace. Well, I would just end by saying, fast forward just a few days to when Jesus directs them to go to that mountain, Matthew 28. And it says that they showed up and they fell down and they worshiped Him, but some doubted. How beautiful that Jesus continues to meet us even in our doubt. We proclaim plainly, Jesus is the Christ. He has died. He has risen. He will come again, and in Him we have life. Let's pray. Lord, we give You thanks for this day. We give You thanks for Your word. We give You thanks for what You do with doubting people, because I are one. And yet You meet us. Oh, You meet us even behind locked doors. And when You show up, beautiful things happen. People are transformed. Peace is given. You breathe on us. You send us forth. You love us. You're patient with us. Thank You. I pray mostly today, Lord, that You would breathe on us, especially as we come to table this day, and would You send us out in power? Lord, I don't want Epiclesis to be just a place where we show up on Sunday morning and then go home. I pray that Epiclesis would be a place where we meet with You, our leader, our head, in power, and then You send us forth into the world to love and serve You in power after we've been nourished at table. That's what I want. Brothers and sisters, is that what you want too? And that's our prayer now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.